The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is Madeline, written and illustrated by Ludwig Bemelmans. In an old house in Paris, all covered in vines, lived 12 little girls in two straight lines. In two straight lines, they broke their bread. They brushed their teeth and went to bed. They smiled at the good and frowned at the bad. And here they are out taking a walk, and they're watching a policeman chase a robber who has just grabbed someone's purse. And sometimes they were very sad. They left the house at 9:30 in two straight lines, in rain or in shine. The smallest one was Madeline. She was not afraid of mice. And here she is in the kitchen trying to pat one of the little mice that's running around, and all the other girls are afraid and standing back, and one of them's even up on a chair. They're so afraid of mice. She loved the winter, snow and ice. To the tiger in the zoo, Madeline just said, "Poo, poo." And the other little girls are gathered around their teacher, Miss Clavel, holding on to her skirts, and are so afraid of that tiger, even though he was safely in a cage. And nobody knew so well how to frighten Miss Clavel. And here is Madeline walking across the little wall on the top of the bridge over a very deep, fast river. And Miss Clavel and all the other little girls are so afraid that Madeline might just fall off that wall and get carried away by the water. In the middle of one night, Miss Clavel turned on her light and said, "Something is not right." Little Madeline sat in bed and cried and cried. Her eyes were red. And soon after, Dr. Cohn came. He rushed out to the phone and dialed Danton 10-6. "Nurse," he said, "it's an appendix." Everyone had to cry. Not a single eye was dry. Madeline was in his arm, in a blanket, safe and warm. In a truck with a red light, they drove out into the night. Madeline woke up 2 hours later in a room with flowers. Madeline soon ate and drank, and on her bed there was a crank. In those days, they didn't have electric hospital beds like we do nowadays. They had beds that you had to wind up or wind down with a crank on the end. And there was a crack on the ceiling that had a habit of sometimes looking like a rabbit. Outside were birds, trees, and sky, and so 10 days passed quickly by. One nice morning, Miss Clavel said, "Isn't this a fine day to visit Madeline?" So they bought some flowers and went to the hospital. Visitors from 2 to 4 read a sign outside Madeline's door. Tiptoeing in with a solemn face, with some flowers and a vase, in they walked and then said, "Ah," when they saw the toys and candy and the dollhouse from Papa. And the biggest surprise by far, on Madeline's stomach was a scar. That was from her operation. Goodbye, they said, we'll come again. And the little girls left in the rain. They went home and broke their bread. They brushed their teeth and they went to bed. And all those little girls are not smiling when they had supper or when they brushed their teeth and got ready for bed or when they were in their little beds. They all had frowns on their faces. In the middle of the night, Miss Clavel turned on the light and said, "Something is not right." And afraid of a disaster, Miss Clavel ran fast and faster. And she said, "Please, children, do tell me what is troubling you." And all the little girls cried, "Boo-hoo! We want to have our appendix out, too." "Good night, little girls. Thank the Lord you are well. And now go to sleep," said Miss Clavel. And she turned out the light and closed the door. And that's all there is. There isn't any more. This book is Pancakes in Pajamas by Frank Ash. One Saturday morning at breakfast, Baby Bear said, "This is so much fun. You know what I wish? I wish we could stay in our pajamas and eat pancakes all day long." "I think that's a great idea," said Papa Bear. "Me too," said Mama Bear. "What happens now?" asked Baby Bear as he helped clear the table. "We can do lots of things," said Papa Bear. "I'd like to go back to bed," said Mama Bear. "Me too," said Papa Bear. "And read stories?" said Baby Bear. Back in their big cozy bed, Mama and Papa Bear read tales about timid tigers and fishy goldfish, penguins that couldn't find their suspenders, and polar bears in spaceships looking for a new planet until they all fell fast asleep, all three of them. Baby Bear was the first to open his eyes. "Wake up, Mama! Wake up, Papa!" he cried. "Gosh, it sure was a busy week," said Papa. "I really needed that nap." "Me too," said Mama. "Me three," said Baby Bear. After their nap, the bear family played board games and had fun throwing cards into a hat. Then they took a long walk in the park, and there they are, all three of them still in their pajamas, walking out in the park. It's such a beautiful day. At the playground, Mama Bear played with Baby Bear on the swings, and Papa Bear played with him on the seesaw. And then they rode bikes all over town. "All this fresh air and exercise makes me hungry," said Papa Bear. "Me too," said Mama. "Me three," said Baby Bear. "Let's stop at Pete's Pancakes for lunch," said Papa Bear. And then they walk into a little restaurant that's called Pete's Pancakes that says, "Our pancakes are out of this world." "Tell me," said Pete when he brought them all their pancakes, "why are all of you wearing your pajamas and riding bikes today? Is it some kind of a holiday?" "Well, I guess you might say it's Pancakes in Pajamas Day," said Papa Bear. "That's right," said Mama, "and we're part of the bicycle parade." "That sounds like fun," said Pete. If you wait a minute, I'll ask my wife and kids, and we will join you. As the bear family rode through town, family after family put on their pajamas and joined the Pancakes in Pajamas Day Parade. When the parade reached the town square, everyone enjoyed an incredible, edible Pancakes in Pajamas party. And there's the guy from the restaurant and his helpers cooking pancakes outside in the park. And everyone's sitting around and eating pancakes. And then there's some people playing music. And the kids are playing and running around and playing with the ducks in the pond. And some of the older people are dancing to the music, and someone else is sunbathing. Anyways, everyone is having lots of fun in their pajamas in the park with lots of pancakes on a beautiful Saturday. On the way home, Baby Bear fell fast asleep in his bicycle seat. He's riding behind his papa in his own little bicycle seat. "What a wonderful day we had," said Papa Bear, as he carried Baby Bear up to his bed. "I hope we can do this again sometime soon." "Me too," said Mama Bear. "Me three," murmured Baby Bear. And their cat said, "Meow." The name of our next book is Three Little Monkeys, by Quentin Blake. Hilda Snibbs came into the hall and closed the door. "I'm home," she called. "Where are you?" Now, some people have dogs, and some people have cats. But Hilda Snibbs had three little monkeys. Their names were Tim, Sam, and Lulu. Hilda fed them slices of carrot and apple and banana and worried about their health. They were very, very lively. One morning, Hilda took her shopping basket and went out to buy some bananas. "Now you three be good while I'm away." Once she was gone, Tim and Sam and Lulu soon felt bored. So they crept into the hall closet to see what they could find to play with. They threw everything into the hall from the closet. They tried to open the umbrellas. They climbed into the rain boots. They pulled the laces out of all the shoes. And they pulled all the feathers out of Hilda's very best hat. Hilda came home, and she found the most dreadful mess. There were feathers all over the place. Her poor hat. "I am very disappointed in such naughty little monkeys," she said. Tim and Sam and Lulu looked at her with their big round eyes and said nothing. What a mess there is in that hall. The next day, Hilda went out to buy a new hat. "Now, make sure you are good while I'm away," she said. Once she was gone, the three little monkeys soon began to feel bored. So they went into the living room to see what they could find to play with. They emptied the waste paper basket. They tore up the newspapers. They tipped over the flower vase. Then they found Hilda's knitting, and they clambered over the furniture with it until it was tied in knots. When Hilda came home and went into the living room, she found the most awful mess. There were flowers, torn up pieces of paper all over the place, and so were there flowers. Oh, and her poor knitting, all untangled and tied up in knots so she'd never be able to use the yarn again. She clutched it to her and wailed, "What have I done to deserve these three mischievous little monkeys?" Tim, Sam, and Lulu looked at her with their big round eyes and said nothing. The next day, Hilda took her shopping basket and went out to buy some more wool. "And remember to be good while I'm away," she said. But once she was gone, the three little monkeys soon began to feel very bored. So they went into the kitchen to see what they could find to play with. They pulled all the brushes out of the cupboard. They emptied the cleaning powder onto the floor. They got into the garbage and threw out all the potato peelings. And they tipped a saucepan of soup all over the kitchen floor. Oh. When Hilda came home, she found the most awful mess. There were brushes and potato peelings all over the floor. And her soup. Hilda banged the saucepan on top of the stove and said, "Great grief! How long can I put up with these terrible little monkeys?" Tim and Sam and Lulu looked at her with their big round eyes, and they said nothing. The next morning, Hilda took her basket and went out to buy a can of soup. "And be absolutely sure that you are good while I'm away," she said. Once she was gone, the three little monkeys soon began to feel bored. So they crept up the stairs and into the bathroom to see what they could find to play with. They unrolled all the toilet paper. They squeezed out all the toothpaste. They tasted the soap, but they didn't like that. And they poured Hilda's favorite shampoo into the sink. When Hilda came home, she went up to the bathroom to wash her hands. She found the most unbelievable mess. There was toilet paper and water and soap suds all over the floor. And her poor shampoo. Hilda screeched. She tore her hair and rolled her eyes. "Oh," she cried, "oh, for a peaceful life without these wicked little monkeys." The next day, Hilda had to go and see her mother, who was in bed with a very bad cold. "And don't forget, you must be very, very good while I'm away." It wasn't until late in the evening that Hilda came home. She looked around the hall. Everything was neat and tidy. But where were the three little monkeys? She looked in the living room. There was her knitting on the chair, and the newspaper was in a neat pile, but Tim and Sam and Lulu were nowhere to be seen. "Where could they be?" Hilda said to herself. She went into the kitchen. Everything was clean and shining and in its proper place, but there was no sign of the three little monkeys. "Oh, dear," said Hilda, "this is very worrying. What could have happened to them?" She went upstairs to the bathroom. Everything was clean and shining and in its proper place. But there was no sign at all of the three little monkeys. "This is dreadful," said Hilda, and she gave way to despair. The tears rolled down her cheeks. She tried to dab them with her handkerchief, but there were still lots that dripped onto the floor. Soon her handkerchief was soaking wet. She went to the closet to get a dry one. And there, in the closet, were Tim and Sam and Lulu. They looked at her with their big round eyes and said nothing. And they hadn't pulled anything out. The sheets and pillowcases and towels were still all nicely folded on the shelves. "Oh, my goodness," said Hilda, "you naughty little monkeys." And she grabbed them up and hugged them. That night, Hilda went up the stairs to bed with a happy heart. And as she slid between the sheets, she discovered all the spoons and the forks from the kitchen and 3 cans of sardines in tomato sauce. But that is a sort of thing you have to expect if you have 3 little monkeys. That's the end of the story of the 3 little monkeys. This book is Bear is Sick by Karma Wilson. Alone in his cave as the autumn wind blows, Bear feels achy with a stuffed up nose. He tosses and he turns, all huddled in a heap. Bear feels tired, but he just can't sleep. He sniffs and he sneezes, he whiffs and he wheezes, and the bear feels sick. His friends gather round, "Come out, Bear, and play." Bear shakes his head, "I'm too sick today." There he's talking to his friend the rabbit. Mouse mutters, "Oh my, Bear's head is too hot." The rabbit says, "We'll help. Here's a warm, cozy spot." And they pull his quilt over him and tuck him in. Bear mumbles and he moans. He grumbles and he groans. And the bear feels sick. Mouse squeezes Bear tight. He whispers in his ear, "It will be just fine. Your friends are all here." The badger fetches water. Gopher cooks a broth, while mole soothes the bear with a cool, wet cloth. There his friends are all helping. They cover Bear up, and he drinks from a cup. But he still feels sick. There's the badger and the hare, which is really a rabbit, and a mole and a little mouse and even a baby owl and a crow and another tiny bird. The crow is called a raven. Raven says, "Caw, come along, owl and wren. Let us go gather herbs and bring them back to the den." So out they go into the woods to find some herbs to make the bear a nice soothing cup of tea. They coax Bear to sip just a smidgen of the tea. "You'll feel better soon," says Mouse. "Now just wait and see." Bear shakes and he shivers, he coughs and he quivers, but he still feels sick. The friends fuss and they fret. The friends cook and care. They keep a close eye on their poor, sick bear. There they are, all looking after him. They talk in whispers. They walk on tippy toes. They sing lullabies. And the bear starts to doze. They watch the bear for hours. "We've done all we could." And then the bear wakes up. And the bear feels good. And there are all his friends, sound asleep, because they've worked so hard looking after Bear. There they are, all piled on top of each other, sound asleep, and they don't know yet that their friend feels good. Now, this one is called If You Give a Mouse a Brownie, written by Laura Numeroff. If you give a mouse a brownie, and oh, here he is getting a brownie on his plate, he's going to ask for some ice cream to go with it. And when you give him the ice cream, he'll ask you for a spoon. And he'll start drumming on the table. Drumming will get him so excited, he'll want to start a band. You have to play your guitar. He wants to put on a show. So you have to build a stage. And then you'll need some spotlights and a microphone. They're building a little microphone out of a box. A little stage out of a box. Once the stage is finished, he'll want to make lots and lots of tickets. So you have to find construction paper and markers. And when the tickets are done, he will decide to make posters as well. He'll hang the signs all over the neighborhood, rock concert. And there it shows the mouse with the guitar. And all advertising Mouse's concert. When he's hanging out the signs, it might start to rain. And here, Mouse is throwing off all his clothes and is just in his underwear, enjoying the rain. He'll fold some of those posters and make a little paper boat. And then he'll sail that boat in a puddle. He'll get so wet, he will start to sneeze. You have to put him in your pocket so that he can stay nice and warm. When he peeks out of your pocket, he will smell something delicious. And the smell will remind him that he's hungry. You'll have to take him to the store and get a few things to nibble on. And of course, he'll want to have a picnic. And there's some cheese and crackers and olives and lots of peanuts and strawberries and grapes and orange slices and a little bottle of milk and a bagel with cream cheese. All sorts of goodies. When the sun comes out, you'll have to take him to the park. While you're sitting there for the getting ready for the picnic, he'll see a playground. He will jump on those swings. He'll go as high as he can while he looks up at the sky. And he might notice a big white cloud. The cloud will remind him of ice cream. And he'll probably ask you for some ice cream. And the chances are, if you give him some ice cream, he will want a brownie to go with it. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I am Janice Peary, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.